Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, September 12th. And today a hat tip to a Michigan coaching legend and a little bit of glimmer of hope for the Detroit sports scene. This is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. And today, a salute to a Michigan basketball coaching legend who stepped down on Tuesday. And we're going to hear a little bit of the feedback from the top 100 list from Sports Illustrated. Where would you put, as fans, Reggie Jackson, Blake Griffin, and Andre Drummond on that list of the top 100 players going into the 2018-19 season? We had my thoughts yesterday. We're going to hear from some of you guys today and want to hear from some more. And also, we're going to hear from Ansar Khan, the MLive beat reporter for the Red Wings and the Pistons. But get in touch with me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also follow the show on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. But do you have a man cave that needs sprucing up? Or do you want to go out and play a round of golf but don't have 5 hours to play 18 on the weekends? Or are you looking for some more gear to represent the city of Detroit? I know some of you listening can say yes to at least one of these questions, probably all three. Jim and Ann at Detroit Sports Collectibles have you covered on all of these fronts. I went in there on Sunday, really the perfect rainy day activity. And I know we're going to have some rain and some snow over the next several months as well, but I spent a couple hours playing Pebble Beach with my brother on a rainy day, the all sports simulator, the golf simulator. We haven't had time to play a real round this summer together, so we hit the simulator almost as good. My first time playing a simulator, and it was great. I won by 10 shots, but I don't want to rub that into my brother Scott too much, but had a nice little 47 on the back nine. No big deal. I don't want to brag too much about it. Sad, but that's pretty good for me, especially on a simulator for the first time. But like I said, the perfect rainy day activity, and I'm not a betting man, but I'm guessing we're going to have many days we're going to need some other outlet other than outdoors to play your golf here in the next 6 months or so. Jim and Ann are there at Detroit Sports Collectibles in Clawson on weekends, Friday from 10 to 3, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5 p.m. But make an appointment and they will meet you up there anytime throughout the week after 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday. They will be there for you. The golf simulator was just $30 an hour, but we used our coupon and got $10 off the first hour. Really a great way to spend an afternoon. Bring in some food, enjoy the time with your loved ones or your golf partners or whoever. Try out the golf simulator in Clawson. It's a great time. I promise you, you will have a good time. Even better, tell them that you heard about their store on Locked On Pistons and they will give you 10% off your first order of merchandise. They've got the Made in Detroit shirts, the memorabilia, the football stuff, the music stuff. They've got everything. They're at 661 South Main Street in Clawson. Plus, you can order items at DetroitCollectibles.net. Check out the website. I will promise you that you will find something that you didn't know you need. Support Jim and Ann at Detroit Sports Collectibles. Support Michigan small businesses and in turn, support the Locked On Pistons podcast. Check out Detroit Sports Collectibles at 661 South Main Street, just south of 14 Mile in Clawson, and at DetroitCollectibles.net. Give them a call, 844-238-6277. Again, that's 844-238-6277. Jim and Ann, make an appointment to meet them up there today. But as we mentioned, Dan Fife, Michigan high school basketball coaching legend at Clarkston, announced on Tuesday that he's stepping away from the Wolves. The high school basketball coach, very accomplished, coming off of back-to-back seasons of Class A state championships with Foster Lawyer and the Wolves. Lawyer, now a freshman point guard in East Lansing for Tom Izzo at Michigan State. In all, Coach Dan Fife was 703-170 at Clarkston High School, the third winningest coach of all time in Michigan high school state basketball history. His sons, Dugan, played at Michigan. You remember him from being the complimentary player off the bench for the Fab Five back in the Maize and Blue days. Jeremy Fife, who I believe was more of a football player, but ended up playing some hoops at Grand Valley as well. And then Dane Fife, I believe he was probably a Mr. Basketball winner at Clarkston. He was a really good player there. Obviously went to Indiana, where he took them to the Final Four with Mike Davis, now the coach at UAD. And went to the national championship game as well, losing to Juan Dixon and Maryland and those guys in the Final Four when I was a freshman in college. He's now a Michigan State assistant under Tom Izzo there as well. So congrats on a great run in Northern Oakland County to Coach Dan Fife. I didn't get a chance to play against Dan Fife when I played in high school basketball, but I did play against his freshman team when I was a freshman at Clarkston and hit the game winner, the buzzer beater, knocking off Clarkston. So take that, Dan Fife. No, I'm just kidding. Congratulations on retirement to Dan Fife, a coaching legend in northern Oakland County. But our guy, Sham Mohile, responded to our query about where Dre and Blake would be ranked, saying both would be in the high 20s, low 30s. Well, Sham and I were both surprised to see that in the Sports Illustrated article from SI.com that was released on Monday and then Tuesday, as far as Pistons purposes, as 100 through 51 were unveiled on Monday, and then 50 through 31 were unveiled on Tuesday. The rest, I'm sure, coming for the rest of the week. Well, Blake Griffin was number 41, and Andre Drummond was number 46, so some pretty big disrespect there from the national media. Down, actually, Blake was one spot higher than I had him on my list. I had him at 42, and then I had Dre at 31, so 15 spots lower. Some pretty big disrespect there from the national media. But we got a call here from Breishan Miller in Philly, my guy out there, who said he's one of the biggest Pistons fans around and has the Greg Monroe and Antonio McDice jerseys to prove it. I've got the Rodney Stuckey jersey hanging up in my closet at my folks' house for some reason. And then I also had a Darko one, but I think that might be lost by now. I'll have to check it out next time I'm around. But that one was definitely purchased as a joke after he was probably already gone. But that was off the clearance racks at Birchwood Mall in Port Huron. Like I said, probably a Halloween costume. And I did wear it to a couple bars for Halloween randomly when I was being lazy and didn't really have a costume and figured at least the Darko jersey will make some people laugh at the bar. I also do have a Dennis Rodman Pistons jersey that I used to wear to the beach in the VI, one of those fake jersey sites from like Japan that you see online. Just ordered some of those because that's how I roll sometime. But anyway, here's Breishan with his thoughts on Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin from Sports Illustrated.
But I had Blake at 38 and Andre at 41. And part of that was tempered because how are they actually going to be ranked? You know, a lot of guys are going to get in resting on their laurels, like Blake. You know, he's not that good. I don't think 38 is right for him, or even the 41 they put him at. But because he was so great for so long, he's going to get a boost. Just like you talked about Paul Millsap. He's going to get a boost because of how great he was with those Atlanta teams, and that's still in recent memory. Whereas Dre, I mean, everybody's really down on centers, really down. Like, everybody plays the same nowadays, and nobody uses big men anymore, and it's kind of disappointing, you know. So I knew, really, Andre deserves to be around where you ranked him, like, you know, 32 to 35. But I had him at 41, knowing they'd be down on centers, and know that you really have to be a Detroit fan to believe he's got some upside. You got to be watching him every day. And I knew a lot of people wouldn't. So I guess Sports Illustrated had Blake and Andre five spots lower than I had. But I guess that's a little fan optimism. And I totally agree with you on Otto Porter. I watch plenty of Wizards, and Otto Porter just disappears sometimes. He's just, there were huge playoff games where it's like, where's Otto Porter? He's not doing anything. You know, so I'll take Dre over Otto Porter any day.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we are being joined by OnStar Khan of MLive.com, the Red Wings beat writer and also the Pistons writer for the website. And OnStar, thanks for joining us here on Locked On Pistons, first of all.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
So, OnStar, so for the people that don't know, and I've been a journalist and writer around the state for many years, but MLive, to kind of start us off here, the articles that you write on MLive also appear on what formerly used to be known as the Booth newspapers around the state as well. What are the papers that your stories go into across the state?
There's a chain of eight papers, Grand Rapids Press, Ann Arbor News, Flint Journal, and also, you know, Muskegon, Kalamazoo, Jackson, Bay City, Saginaw.
Yeah, because I wonder if there's a lot of people out there who, and as someone in the newspaper industry, I was aware of that, but they don't realize that the MLive paper or stories also go in the papers across the state as well. But the big news for Detroit sports today has to deal with a legend of Detroit sports and Steve Yzerman. It's got all the fans buzzing as he stepped down as the GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, a lot of rumors flying around there as well. And Detroit fans looking for some good news out there with the sports scene as it is right now. What's the latest from what you hear about what all transpired today?
Yeah, it was surprising, certainly the timing of it to happen a couple of days before training camp to make this decision. But during the news conference in Tampa, Eiserman indicated he'll remain with the Lightning for at least 1 year as an advisor. He has the 1 year left on his contract. But after that, he left it open-ended. He said he doesn't know what he'll do after that contract expires. The reason he gave is just the grind of his family still lives in Michigan in Metro Detroit, and he was doing a lot of commuting back and forth. He cited the grind and wanting to spend more time in Detroit with his family. So certainly the speculation of Eiserman, becoming Ken Holland's successor here in a year is going to continue until either he signs an extension to remain with Tampa Bay in some capacity or some decision is made. The Red Wings signed Ken Holland to a two-year extension in April. Would they be interested in Eiserman after this season? Who knows? Well, this is all kind of wait and see now what develops.
And Ansar, off mic, you talked about how you're heading up to Traverse City for camp for the Red Wings tomorrow. So they just wrapped up prospect camp today in Traverse City. What's the short version of maybe some hope, some better days ahead for Detroit sports fans, maybe looking at the Red Wings young players and the draft they had this year as well as some ways to think that maybe this turns around sometime, maybe even a little bit sooner rather than later down the road for the Red Wings?
Well, it comes from their last two drafts. For like 25 years or so, they drafted, because of their success, they drafted so low, but missing the playoffs the last 2 years got them some high draft picks. And the last two, Michael Rasmussen in 2017 and Philip Zadina this year, are players that they're really hoping will make the big club this year. They're really counting on it, in fact. Two skilled forwards, and the other guys, Dennis Cholowski, their top pick, a defenseman in 2016, has looked good too in this prospects tournament. The good thing about what transpired during this tournament, I wasn't there, but just from reading about it and talking to people, is that those players that I mentioned, their top prospects were their best players, and that's how it should be. Otherwise, they'd have a problem coming into the main camp, competing against NHLers. But their better prospects, their top prospects, look good in the development camp in June, and have continued to impress here in this prospects tournament. So, I think that's something certainly that Red Wings fans have reason to be optimistic. But still, this rebuild is going to take some time here. By all accounts, it looks like the Wings will still finish near the bottom of the league this year and maybe even next season. It's going to take some time to rebuild, in particular that defense. They do have some promising forwards, though, coming up in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I even saw that Las Vegas had them being the longest shot to win the Stanley Cup this year. So, perhaps another season as in the bottom of the standings for the Red Wings ahead. And then maybe, like you said, maybe some more down the road as well. But Ansar Khan joining us from M Live, you cover the Red Wings and the Pistons. So obviously you're someone who spent as much time in Little Caesars Arena as pretty much anyone, I would imagine, in the first year of operations in downtown Detroit. How is it kind of behind the scenes for the media when you compare LCA to Joe Louis Arena and also the Palace with the Pistons before that? How does it work for you guys, and what are some things that stand out behind the scenes for some of the things that you deal with every day?
Well, certainly from a facility standpoint, comparing it to Joe Louis Arena is like night and day. One thing I can say for Joe Louis Arena, though, where we were sitting, the press box, you had a nice vantage point of the ice. At Little Caesars Arena, you're higher, but you are closer to the ice. It's just higher than it was at Joe Louis Arena. But, you know, beyond that, the amenities, restrooms, elevator up to the press box at Joe Louis Arena, it was mostly stairs that you had to take. Certainly from the media standpoint and from the player's standpoint too, just the facilities, everything about Little Caesars Arena, huge upgrade over Joe Louis Arena.
And famously, I think they forgot the press box when they were designing Joe Louis Arena at the beginning. So it was kind of a makeshift place where they could find some room after a little while, right?
Yeah, for sure. That was something that certainly they weren't going to forget this time. And it's kind of a neat press box. It's like a gondola, it's like an overhang suspended over fairly close to the ice. But like I said, it is very high.
Now, Ansar, what about the crowds? The comparison between the two is such a big story, especially with the Pistons this year, about the empty seats in the arena. How did the crowds compare? You were there, night in and night out, seeing back-to-back nights a lot of times with the Pistons and the Wings. Was there a louder one? Was there a more consistent filling up of the – they were close to filling up of the arena compared to the two?
The Wings drew the biggest crowds, the bigger crowds for sure. Pistons crowds were surprisingly small. Both organizations, claimed, a lot of fans were out on the concourse and the restaurants, bars, just around the arena here, kind of taking it all in. And, to some extent that's true, but still a lot of empty seats, especially for Pistons games, so much so that they brought in these seat covers from Art Van, got a sponsorship deal with them, because especially when you're looking on TV, you'd see a sea of red seats at these Pistons games. Well, these seat covers in the lower bowl, black seat covers, they kind of makes it the appearance of being a little bit more full than it was, but still they got to be disappointed at the crowds, particularly with the Pistons. Again, it all comes down to you give them a good product, a winning product, and they definitely have shown in the past during their championship eras that it does become the hottest ticket in town when this team is a championship contender.
Now, speaking of championship contenders, about a year ago or so, maybe closer to 2 years ago, the teams were kind of at the same level, just fighting for that last playoff spot or just out of the playoffs. The Pistons have chose to kind of keep plugging away, while the Wings, maybe out of necessity, have chose the rebuild route. Obviously, looking ahead to the future too, do you see a better strategy out of the two, or do you see a team that might be more positioned to be pretty good down the road, or a team that of the two that you could see in the conference finals sooner than the other team at this point, or is it really kind of hard to say?
Well, certainly the Wings, unless they surprise, they're not going to be a playoff team this year, and probably not next year. The Pistons should, a lot depends on health of Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson in particular. They should be a playoff team. They should be able to at least, at the very least, sneak into that, seventh or eighth spot. If not, if all things go right for them, they certainly could move up to, maybe as high as the fifth or sixth spot. They should be a playoff team, but, that doesn't get you much in the NBA. I mean, there's only a couple of teams every year that have a realistic chance of winning the championship. So you can kind of see that maybe they're just going to be spinning their wheels here. They might make the playoffs. If they do, you know, probably the best that they can hope for is winning a round, if even that. Is that the right way to go? Or is with the Red, in the Red Wings case, it's pretty much, you know, starting all from scratch all over again. And it's going to take some time. You know, I think eventually what's going to happen is in a few years, if all goes right, according to the Red Wings plan, they will be back up, at least in contention. Whereas the Pistons, I just don't know. You know, in the NBA, it's tough. There's, like I said, fewer teams that that have that capability. And also, in one sense, the Pistons, I think when Stan Van Gundy made the deal for Blake Griffin, that kind of cemented this team's future in that regard. When you add that contract, you're really not going to be able to go into a rebuild because you're stuck with it. And that hampers your, you know, the as far as cap space and your off-season flexibility, you just don't have very much. And we saw that this off-season. So they could be in a position where they're kind of stuck in that kind of the middling range for a while.
Now, on Sarkhan of M Live, you cover that, like we said, the Pistons and the Red Wings, and you've covered some glory days for teams in the Detroit past as well. Now, do you notice that? Now, first of all, I know you don't want to give away probably numbers, but for the M Live, you know, hits per article, the amount of traffic that you guys get on articles per site, you know, when you're dealing with these teams that are losing and struggling in the Detroit sports market, are those quite a bit down, or are email readers, you know, emails you get from readers or comments on the stories? I know M Live, very famous for their commenters and everything like that. Is all that stuff kind of down as these teams are kind of in the process of rebuilding and going through years and years of these losing cycles like some of these teams are right now?
I think so. I don't know the precise numbers, but certainly I think, and that's to be expected. You know, there's going to be a certain amount of apathy. I think, especially in the Pistons case, and I really think that was one of the reasons that they made the Blake Griffin deal, was to generate some buzz, try to make the team relevant again, because they're just, you know, the attendance was down. They're playing in front of a half empty arena every night, and there's just nobody was really interested in talking about the Pistons. And you know, they made the deal, generated a little bit of buzz. I think they went on a 4 or 5 game winning streak right after the deal, but then it was back to mediocrity after that. But as far as numbers, certainly that's dictated with these teams in particular to a large extent by their success. It's much different in the NFL. The Lions have been bad for forever. It doesn't matter because pro football is so huge that it's going to generate a lot of interest, a lot of traffic, regardless of how good the team is. But that's not the case with the NBA or the NHL, at least not in Detroit.
Now, last question here for Ansar Khan, covering the Pistons and the Red Wings for M Live. As far as the Pistons, is there something that you're going to be looking out for during, maybe even during preseason games, training camp, or early on in the season, as one possible reason that, or one possible player who's could have some upside there that could turn this thing from a, you know, like you said, a middling playoff team from the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoff standings to maybe even a little bit higher, that to, you know, like a 6 seed or 5 seed or some teams with an optimism for getting some momentum going into the playoffs? Is there some kind of key that you might see early on that is a possibility that could give some fans some hope looking at, you know, as the calendar turns to a better 2019 part of the season?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of things. I think first thing is just how Griffin, Drummond, and Jackson are going to mesh together. They only played together for 4 games last year before when Jackson returned, but then Griffin got injured late in the season. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic works between those three players. And I think the other things would be that the two players with the biggest room for growth, Stanley Johnson and Luke Kennard, seeing if they can take the next step. You know, with Stanley, you know, he's the best defender, but, you know, how much can he improve offensively? I mean, can his shot improve much? Or is he going to be more aggressive like he was really the second half of the season in taking the ball to the rim? You know, I think Dwayne Casey called it a make-or-break year for Johnson, so that'll be interesting. And then Luke Kennard, too, you know, he's a guy that's improved steadily during his rookie year after a kind of a rough start under Stan Van Gundy. So there's some room for improvement. Certainly they expect him to take the next step here. He'll probably be like the sixth man at the start of the season, but you know, will he eventually during the course of the season work his way into the starting lineup? I think those are a couple of things to look for.
Well, Ansar Khan, I guess summer kind of ends tomorrow for you, is the bad news, as you look ahead to several months at Little Caesars Arena, first with Traverse City. Thanks for taking the time to join us here on Locked on Pistons. Follow him on M Live or on Twitter at Ansar, A-N-S-A-R, Khan, K-H-A-N-M Live. And thanks for joining us here on the podcast.
Glad to be with you.
And that was Ansar Khan of M Live. Thanks to him for joining us, and I hope he has a good time up in Traverse City for the training camp for the Detroit Red Wings. As the season is coming up, it's a little bit crisp in the air, so you know the Pistons and Red Wings time is just around the corner. And while you're following Ansar on Twitter, give us a follow at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, aptly named at Locked On Pistons. But also give us a call and leave a voicemail and text us at the new number that we have, 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. Vinnie Johnson, Joe Dumars, Terry Mills, easy to remember, 1546 at the end of there. Remember to go visit Detroit Sports Collectibles, the store in Clawson, with the hats, the Made in Detroit shirts, the golf simulator, the football figurines, the music posters, the Lamb beer and Mahorn poster from the Bad Boys days, all the beer hats, just great stuff that you didn't know you needed, but you definitely do. Go ahead and visit Jim and Ann up in Clawson at Detroit Sports Collectibles, 661 South Main Street, just south of 14 Mile. Just great stuff that you didn't know you needed, but you definitely do. Check them out at DetroitCollectibles.net as well. The online stuff there, they're up there on the weekends, but you can set up an appointment to meet them during the week after 5 o'clock. Give them a phone call at 844-238-6277. Again, that's 844-238-6277. Mention that you heard of them on Locked On Pistons to get 10% off there as well. I really need you guys to support them as they supported us with the Locked On Pistons endeavor. So this is your host, Matt Schoch, and thanks for all you do. And thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. We will talk to you guys later in the week.